But this is going to be called the power of righteousness. The power of righteousness. And this is one of these terms, righteousness. What the heck is righteousness? What does it mean? I mean, who cares about righteousness, right? I mean, you know, what's that to me? Well, it's a big deal. And if church people can get a hold of this term here, my God, you're talking about changing things. Let me read you some verses here. I wanna go to Romans chapter 3 and just read you some verses, and then we're gonna talk about some things. And I'm gonna start. Let's start verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. We don't really believe that verse. By the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. We don't believe that verse. And the reason I mean, how many churches still got up the deeds of the law? The Ten Commandments. How many of them will tell you need to try to keep the Ten Commandments? But here it says, you're not justified in his sight by keeping Ten Commandments. Now see, that rubs people wrong, but I'm just quoting Apostle here. For by the law, here's what you know by the law, the knowledge of sin. But, I always like the buts in the Bible, but there's something else here. There's something mighty, something good. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. What's he saying? The righteousness of God has been revealed. The righteousness of God has been revealed. Look, without this term righteousness, do you realize there's no covenant? There's no healing? I mean, see, we don't even think about healing being attached to righteousness, do we? We just thank you. We thank God's grace. Listen, none of this is possible without the righteousness of God. None of it. But he says, now the righteousness of God is revealed without the law. That's what he says. The righteousness of God is revealed without the law. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned. We know this verse, don't we? All have sinned. Probably one of the most quoted verses next to John 3:16 in the Bible. All sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody quotes the next verse, though, do they? Being justified freely. Being justified. The gift of being justified. A gift was given to you. Being justified freely by what? His grace. Through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I mean, these are lawyer terms, right? You ever read a lawyer statement? Said person's walking on said road next to thus fence, you know. I can't read lawyer language. Paul writes like a lawyer. Sometimes it's hard to get a hold of. You know, Peter says he's hard to be understood. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. Who ever heard of that word? Propitiation. That word is atonement. Propitiation. Through faith in his blood to declare. Whose righteousness? His righteousness for what? The remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, what? His righteousness. That what? He might be just. Who just? He might be just. And the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. I love this next little verse. Where's boasting then? It's excluded. Where's your boasting then? Because what was made manifested? His righteousness. So where's your boasting? It's excluded. By what law? Works, nay, by the law of faith. Where's boasting then? Now, we say we don't boast, but, you know, guys, in our own, we do. Well, I may be bad, but I ain't as bad as that one. You ever say that? Where's boasting then? I may tell little lies, I don't tell big ones. I'm not as bad as old so-and-so. He's a dopey. Right? He says, where is boasting then? There's only one thing that's made manifest here. All are concluded under sin, but there's the law and the prophets witness to the revelation of the righteousness of God. Heck, who cares about the righteousness of God? What's that to me? Make me happy. Make me feel good. Make me... You see what I mean? He's just. Guys, I'm going to tell you what. We got one major problem in the church. What is that problem in the church? All these things that go on. We got one major problem in the church. It plagues the church. If you'll be honest with yourself, you deal with it daily, every day, every one of you do, and it's called guilt. It's called shame, guilt, condemnation. Why is that? Because the church has no sense of righteousness. Guilt and shame has no part with righteousness. You see what I'm talking about here? If the church knew who they were, if you knew who you were in Christ Jesus, listen, I battle it. You battle it. It's there. But see, we only think of these things in churchy things. Oh, Lord, I battle these things. I mean, you know, everything you do, there's an accuser right there that's sent there to accuse you of something. Oh, you know, he was a better person. I've dealt with this of being a dad, not being a good dad. There's always an accuser right there, aren't they? Being a good worker, being a good brother, being a good whatever. You always know that you fall short. I mean, deep down inside, do you not know? I mean, who in here could jump up and say, I am the perfect dad. I'm the perfect mom. I have never blown it. Who could do that? The law is always going to be there to say, oh yeah. So you know you're guilty. You know you're guilty, but look, there's something else. The righteousness of God has been revealed. But see, we don't want to talk about that. All we do is feel bad for the guilt and the shame. But see, Paul is going to lead us up to Romans 8. There's therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. We'll get a hold of that a little bit and walk out the door and go right back into our guilt and condemnation. I mean, I hear this, and I've heard it from other places. You know, Zach had to go get his driver's license up court the other day, the judge, he, you know, when they're giving their little DMV speech or whatever, he says, how would you like to... And see, isn't this what we do to people? We throw the guilt trip on them. Isn't that how we guide people with the guilt trip? How would you like to be the one, Bev, to go out with your buddies, drinking and driving, and kill your friend? How would you like to live with that, right? So I'm going to throw guilt down as your guideline, right? Your fence post is going to be guilt. Cross over here, guilty. Cross over here, guilty, right? How would you like to live with that? Well, that would be terrible. It would be terrible. How would you feel if you went through life knowing you killed somebody? I mean, what? Let's just say this. Let's say you hit a busload. Let's say you wrecked a bus and killed 100 people. Oh God, it's bad enough to kill one. Now you've killed 100. And let's say you meant to. Now, I don't know you're thinking I'm crazy. Let's say you meant to kill 100 people. How would you go through life? How could you ever approach God with that kind of guilt and shame? Well, there's a guy here that wrote this very book who was a murderer. He was a Christian terrorist named Paul. When he walked into town, they said, uh-oh, here comes Paul. Oh, you know, here comes Saul. He'll kill us, Oakley. He'll kill us. That's what he does. We don't want him in our house. We don't want him in our town. This guy is a terrorist. You got the name of Christian, this guy will kill you. Paul wrote about the righteousness of God. Paul wrote about the kingdom of joy is righteous, or the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. How could the guy who was over here a murderer now be talking about something else? See, we need a revelation of the righteousness of God, do we not? Guilt. Here's a bumper sticker. Here's something that I hear all the time. I'm not perfect, just forgiven. You guys ever heard that? Oh, I'm a work in progress, Bev. Oh, God's still working on me. Woo, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe if I read in Hebrews, we got a high priest that offered one sacrifice and sat down. You know what that means? Finished. He's through working with you. He's just and the justifier of them which believe. He's the justifier of them which believe. Do you really believe that you've been justified? Well, see, I don't have an emotional, my emotions tell me no. Can I blow your mind a little bit? Do you realize that when you, Jesus didn't forgive you when you were born again? What? He didn't forgive you, or forgiveness is for later. I mean, do you realize that? Forgiveness is for church people. Not being born again. When you were born again, you were a newborn babe, innocent, pardoned, justified, right? I mean, you were born again from above. I gotta talk about a couple things here, because it's my goodness, it's tough to try to deal with some of these things. And oh Lord, we cut ourselves off from the promises of God because of guilt. I know I grew up in a religion that what we were beggars. You know, we thought that's the way you had to be, as a beggar. And you know what? You listen to your own prayer. Do you come boldly before the throne of grace, or do you go begging God? Because we don't have a sense of righteousness. We don't have a sense of justification. And to prove that, we'll go before God in prayer, not expecting anything. Do we? I mean, do you pray to God? And what's the tagline on the end? Oh, I know you're going to say in Jesus' name. But there's a tagline right before you say that. What is that? Because you don't really trust God. You don't believe God's really going to do it. You don't want to shame God. You don't want to bring something before God and then Him not do it. You embarrass God. So we protect God by saying, Lord, if it's your will. Don't we? You ever prayed that prayer? Lord, if it's your will. Jesus' name. You know, that way, well, you know, Lottie wasn't healed of cancer. Guess it wasn't God's will. You know, Jesus came upon a leper. You know, they would be hollering for him. And, you know, there's a sense there. I can't remember the verse. But Jesus responds to them almost questioning, like he cannot believe that they would ask him the question, what do you mean if it's my will? Of course I want you healed. Why would you even ask that question? I can't believe. I mean, think about it. He said, Denise, you don't really know who I am, do you? To ask that question. How dare you even ask me the question, do I want you well? Do you not know that I'm Abba, Father? What parent, what earthly, sinful parent wants their child sick? Name one, and I'll tell you, we need to shoot them. You think God wants his children sick? You think he wants them dying in weakness and cancer and turned over? You think that's God's will? See, I get mad sometimes for thinking, well, it's God's will. I don't know what God they're serving, but it ain't Jehovah Rapha. Ain't Jehovah Nissi. It ain't God is love. It ain't Jesus Christ is Lord. Promise you that. They don't have this revelation of righteousness. He's just and the justifier of them which believe. We cut ourselves off from the promises of God. This is where prayer chains come from. You guys know that? Because we really don't believe. And I think, hey, you know, we need prayer here. Listen, I'm all for prayer. I pray every day, all the time, every day. But what is a prayer chain? A prayer chain says, I'm not close to God, and I really don't believe God's going to answer my prayer. So if I can get a whole bunch of people praying, maybe God will hear one of them, and maybe, you know, one of them is closer to God than I am. Because a prayer chain says I have no expectancy. And I hope somebody that gets on the list does have some expectancy. Why? Guilt, shame, condemnation. So we got the promises of God there, and nobody believes it. I mean, do we really believe come boldly to the throne of grace to seek mercy in the time of need? Listen, that doesn't mean I'm over here and I got to come over here to the throne to seek something. That means realize where you already are, because where he is where you are. Just that verse. See, King James sometimes missed it in his thinking, in his interpretation, in his translation. Because to come boldly to the throne of grace means I'm over here and he's over there. But there's not that way. You're one in him. You're complete in him. You're one. Let me show you a couple of things here. I'm trying to use my little poster boards. I don't know if I can even get to the one part that I got wrote down here, because I want to address the things, but I know that they come up against some things. I'll probably drop these 15 times, but let's see. Oh, there's one. You guys just have to look over me. My little poster boards. All the good writing Morgan did, and the writing you can't read I did. Uh-oh, I told you I'd have these things all over the place. We know, guys, there was a choice, right? All the way back down there in the garden. Do you realize that the man, Adam, couldn't be fully human until he made a choice? Because that's what we have to do with it. Adam was given a free will to choose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or the tree of life. I don't know how long they walked around in there, Adam and Eve, looking at that tree, but when they got near this tree, something happened. We know what happened, right? We know that they got tempted. We know they ate of that tree, the knowledge of good and evil. What made them do that? Why did they want this tree of life? Well, I mean, what did this tree offer that was so good, so enticing? Because look, up until that point, they knew they depended on God. But the temptation was, declare yourself independent of God, and you'll be God. Declare independence from God, and you'll be as God. But God had warned them, didn't he? What did God say? The day that you eat of this, He said, thou shalt surely die. Now listen, God wasn't telling them he's going to be mad and kill them. God's saying, if you choose to be independent from me, death will be your new state of being. Death. Life, death. I'm going to tell you why, guys. The reason this tree looks all pretty, because this is type and shadow. You know what the tree of life was, don't you? It was the cross, a bloody, blood-stained cross right there. And who likes to look at the cross? The wisdom of God right here, the wisdom of God, a beaten man hung up here naked. That's not very pretty to look at, but over here, oh, this would make one wise. Whoa, yeah, I will become wise. I won't even need God anymore. Oh, but, you know, maybe I'll call on him every now and again. You know, when the storms get bad, Bev, and I know God's close, and hey, you know, this is a storm's a little bit much for me. I'll wake Jesus up in the back of the boat and say, hey, you know, it's a big storm, man. I don't know if you do this or not. Every now and again, God, I may need your help. God, I'd like to have you on standby. God, I'd like to know you'd carry me when times get tough. What about when times are good? Oh, I walk on my own. I don't need him today, do I? Things are good. Life is great. Don't need him today. I'll call you, God, when I need you. That's the Christian life. Guys, I lived that way for a long, long time. That's the reason I love going into these characters, David and Moses, and seeing where they had to come to. So here that brings us to the tree of the knowledge. And we know that old Adam here, I'll just have to throw my step down. Old Adam, he failed. Old Adam. Now, yeah, Adam failed. Adam ate that. And Adam failed. Now I wrote some other stuff down right here. But where was you at in this picture? Well, I wasn't even born yet, brother. Yeah. I mean, where were you? Where were you? I mean, well, I wasn't born yet. Now look, unless we believe we come from monkeys, which I don't think we do. We were right here in him, weren't we? Were we not in him? Everybody, you know, he told Abraham that Levi paid tithes because he was in the loins of Abraham. Right? He was already there. So where were you? You was in the loins of Adam. So whatever happened to this man happened to you. Let me show you something here. Romans 5. Romans 5. Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Do y'all believe that? Because this man sinned, all that was in this man are now sin. Death. This man, because of what he did, brought death into the world. I'm just going to read verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And really, that word many there is all. All were made sinners. So this man right here declared us all in sin, right? Well, I mean, that ain't no big deal, right? Just go believe and get out of that. This man became cursed. You go read Genesis. He said, now the ground will even bring thorns and thistles, right? I mean, you didn't know disease, but now you will. You didn't know sickness, but now. This man is cursed. The woman is cursed. The ground is cursed. Everything is cursed, right? This man is under the curse, and everyone born of him is under the curse. He's in a state of death. As a matter of fact, there is a wall put up here. I say a wall. There's a flaming sword and a cherubim that's put up right here, and this guy's thrown out, and he says, this is now off limits. You can never come. this again. Never. That's it. Cut off. What are we going to do? I'm in this state of being. Life, righteousness, joy, peace is all over there. I'm over here, thorns and thistles. See, it don't sound too bad because, you know, now, let me show you something else here. I had all these in order. So here comes this guy, right? Now, death. Right? Death. Separated from God. He's in a place of death, right? I told you, set up right here. No way to get back. And I know I got an orange one in here, I believe. Yikes, but don't look what I got right on the back. I hope it ain't on the back of this one. No. Since this guy, you do realize that because this happened, this guy, Adam was supposed to have dominion, right? Adam was supposed to have dominion. Let's make man in our image. Let him have dominion. He was supposed to have dominion, but he fell from that place, and he became under this guy, Satan, who is the executioner. You guys know what an executioner is. An executioner is one that administers the sentence that has been handed down. The sentence that's been handed down is death, and the great executioner of that death is this cat right here. The dominion of the world is now handed over to this guy right here. Paul calls him the god of this world. Jesus, as soon as Jesus was baptized, Jesus is brought to this cat right here. And this cat right here says, all the kingdoms of the world I'll give to you if you'll bow down and worship to me. What did Jesus always say? My kingdom's not of this world. This dude right here has got legal rights over Adam. Do you realize that? He has a legal right over Adam. Legally. So we don't think about these things. We don't think about guys who walk in school with guns and kill people. What are they doing? Oh, the world's getting bad. Look, this guy's in charge. He's in charge of that. And we don't want to hear that. He's in charge of it. What do you think he does? He's just executing his dominion. But what's the church do? We run and cower, and we put it on Facebook how bad it is. We don't want to do nothing about it. We don't want to cause a revolution. These are they that turn the world upside down. What do we want to do? We want a cotton picking rapture out of here and say, let's go somewhere else. No, this right here was given to us, and he took it. Let me tell you what he told Joshua. Let me tell you something, Joshua, everywhere the sole of your foot treads, that I've given it to you. So you can sit there in your seat or get up and walk. You see what I'm talking about? Everywhere the sole of your foot treads, that I've given it to you, Joshua. This guy took it, but I want you to take it back. I hope you understand what I'm telling you about. It's important. I get frustrated. I get aggravated at Christians. Listen, I spent my life acting like a coward, a cowardly Christian, afraid to pray, afraid to declare anything, afraid to raise up a part of the covenant and say, powers of darkness, there's a new covenant in town. You don't have no dominion here. You know? Let me just keep on going. See? Now, This guy right here, there's a new law that's brought into place. It's called a law of sin and death. Do you realize that that becomes the nature of this guy? The law, I mean the nature. Do you understand what I'm telling you? That means that's what he's governed by. That means he is bent towards death. Everything, every thought, everything he does is bent towards falling short of the glory of God and death. I mean, do you believe that? So, you know, I could just put up over here righteousness. But there's a law over here, sin and death. I wonder. Look, let me pull this one out while I got it. Because over here is a kingdom of light. So in this kingdom over here is what? It's the kingdom of darkness. Kingdom of darkness, who's the gatekeeper of that kingdom? Satan himself, who's the executioner. And everyone in this kingdom is a bond slave, is bound to this. When Jesus said, the truth will make you free. What was he, the heck was he talking about? Listen, where were they? They were in death. Those that are in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God and they shall live. Because there's no life here. There's no righteousness here. There's no healing here. All it is guilt and condemnation. And every time that you would raise your head up, the slave master, the executioner says, Kathy, oh, I know what kind of person you are. You better put your head back down. Don't you come in here thinking righteousness. No, because I still own you. And that's what we believe as Christians. We think that. We think that he still owns us and controls us and what we're going to do. How could I ever get out of this place and get over here? See, over here, it's got another law. It's called the law of life. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I won't get through all of these today, but I mean, here's a word that every time you move, judgment, right? Good God, judgment. Oh Lord, what are we going to do with that? If I'm in sin and death, the executioner holds my key. And the only thing that's above me is judgment. I'm in a bad spot. I can't ask for nothing. I can't do nothing. I mean, do you ever look at and read Exodus and see that the children of Israel and what happened when Moses come down there? We talked about it Wednesday night. What happened when Moses come down there to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, let my people go. He said, who is this Lord? I know all the gods in Egypt. I know Ra, the sun god, and I know all the other gods. I don't know who this Jehovah Cat is. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to show you that I am the true God, and I'm not only going to not let my people go, let your people go. I want to tell you, Moses, they're my people, not Jehovah's. Let my people go. Who does he think he is? They belong to me. And they did, rightly so. They belong to him. And then he says, not only that, I'm going to make it worse on you. So what happens to the Christian? We think, oh my God, we get this stupid thing going on in our minds that as soon as I start going this and I start doing, it's going to be worse on me because that's the way God is, right? Holy suffering. Do you know there's churches that believe that? Holy suffering? That as soon as you come in to the church, God strikes you down with kidney disease or kidney stones and it's a righteous suffering? Who thought of that? Who comes up with this stupid stuff? You know why? You know why? Look, it's the kingdom of darkness. Now listen, these things that I'm telling you, you think, that's just stupid. That's just stupid. So here in the church, what we got to tell you? Just believe. Just trust in Jesus, right? Trust in Jesus. Jesus will make you free. All you got to do is believe on Him and accept Him. Raise your hand and you're born again. That's hogwash. Well, the Bible says, let me show you something. Kingdom of darkness. Let me go to John 3:16. Oh, everybody can quote this verse. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have life everlasting. All right. Now I've got to ask you a question before I read another verse. How many? Because if Adam brought us all into this kingdom of darkness, how many truly wants out of this kingdom of darkness? How many wants out? Everybody's going to raise their hand and say, I do. Get me out of here. According to the Bible, none. Nobody wants out of this kingdom. Isn't that stupid? Nobody wants out of this kingdom because we didn't like God. We didn't know who God was. We declared ourselves independent of God and we wanted to go our own way and be our own God. Let me read you the next verse. God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Why? Because this had already been done. They're already a part of the kingdom of darkness. They're already into sin and death and the kingdom right here. God didn't have to send His Son down here to condemn this, did it? It's already darkness. But that the world through Him might be saved. Right? So I need to get out of this kingdom over here. Right? Verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Ha, here we go. I'm over here and I want to believe. But he that believeth not is condemned already. You're already in condemnation. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Uh-oh, now I got to read the next verse. This is the condemnation. Light is come into the world. You know, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus came from here and came all the way to right here where you and I are. And you know what? We didn't want Him to. He invaded. Just, you guys ever notice, you know, in Isaiah, He said, as the rain cometh down and watereth the earth. You ever invite rain? It comes whether you want it to or don't. It doesn't ask you, hey, Denise, do you think I'd be okay if I rain tomorrow? It's coming. Love invaded darkness. Light came in to this mess where you and I were. Because we weren't even looking for it. Let me just read this next verse. This is the condemnation that light is coming to the world, but what? Men love the darkness rather than the light. I'm talking to church people here now. And Jesus, that's in red letters. Jesus says, you know what, guys? I'm going to tell every one of you, y'all didn't even want out. There was none down there hollering, oh God, come and get me. I'm tired of it. Uh-uh. Y'all liked it. If it wasn't for the initiative of God and God's love to come and get us, you see what I'm talking about. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. Let me show you something here. I don't know which one of these. This one's on. I might already have it up there. I probably do. I thought it was up. Yeah. Oh, yeah, look here. The lost sheep. The lost sheep. Let me just go read that. I just can't help it. I got to go back and read this. Then drew near Him all the publicans. I'm in Luke 15. And the sinners to hear Him. For the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners. And he eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them. Do you know what eateth with them means? Now, we just think, hey, man, let's... Eateth means to come into covenant. And I'm going to show you that here. We won't be able to go very far into this. But listen, in this Hebrew culture, when you ate with somebody, you become one with them. See, we eat in America because we're hungry. Not in the Middle East. When you eat with somebody in the Middle East means you come in covenant with them. So they're like, this guy is coming in covenant with the sinners. We're Pharisees and publicans. We don't do that. We stay away from them. We separate ourselves. We're better than them. Why? We're talking about righteousness, aren't we? This is where we're the power of righteousness. But what this man did, he set up his own standard. And his own standard says, hey, I don't need the righteousness of God. I'll set my own standard up. And here's what it is. As long as I do that, I'm righteous. And this Jesus character is going over there eating with those people that are falling short of this standard. My Lord. Terrible. It's no wonder they didn't like him. We all got our standard of righteousness. That's why we need a revelation of God's righteousness. You'll throw yours off. This is why Paul said, having none, no righteousness of my own, I want to make sure I'm not declaring anything. I'm not going to go before God and say, you know what, God? I ain't missed a Sunday in 6 months. You need to answer this prayer. Paul said, you know what? I ain't going to do that at all. I'm not going to come declaring any righteousness. Well, you read that in Philippians. Jesus spoke this parable and said, what man are you? What man of you? What man? Do you ever just think about that? What man are you? Listen, I mean, I know this. What man are you having 100 sheep? If he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. If he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. Listen. I got to leave the 99 and go after the one. I wonder why that is. You reckon this one has any value? If it was just an old pug sheep with a broke leg and a cut off ear, done been gobbled up by bears 2 or 3 times and I had to save it, this sheep ain't worth a whole lot, is it? No, I don't know about you, but this sheep right here is worth a heck of a lot because I'm leaving everything I've got to go get it. Now keep in mind what I've told you. Men love the darkness rather than the light. I got a lost sheep right here. Now we would think this poor little lost sheep would be down there crying for God to come and get it, wouldn't we? We would think this poor little, but keep these scriptures in mind. This sheep wasn't calling for the shepherd to come and get it, was it? No, the sheep liked being away. The sheep liked being on his own. The sheep liked being in his lostness because over here I know my standard. I know my place. I know my groveling and my begging and I know where I'm at and all this other stuff. And I'm not even looking for my shepherd. If I was, I wouldn't have went away. This is how stupid the sheep is. This is me and you. That every one of us has gone our own way. Every one of us has fell short. And every one of us right here loved the darkness. We chose it. We wasn't looking for God. Oh, I despise it when people come and tell me, oh, you know what, brother, I found the Lord. No, you didn't. You wasn't even looking for it. By God, no man comes to the Father. No man can come except the Father was sent me, draw him. Listen, you might think you found him, but let me tell you something. He's been sitting on your well since you was in your mother's womb, waiting on you. He's been chasing you down, hunting you down, because you were the lost sheep. You weren't even looking for him, Beverly. I don't care who it is, you was not looking for him. He sought you out. Don't you ever forget it. And how did he get the lost sheep back? Oh, he goes down to the lost sheep and he says, I'm going to use my Bible as a roadmap. And he goes over here to the lost sheep and says, okay, lost sheep, here's your roadmap. Now get your way back over here. Right? We sing songs about that, don't we? Is that what happened? Come on, little sheepy. I'll get you back over here. If you lack good, sheepy, I'll get you back over here. Let's just see what he says in here. There was something that he says in here that kind of blows my mind. Here's the shepherd who comes over here and gets this dumb sheep who liked being lost. This sheep that had his own standard, the sheep that wasn't even looking for it, but the shepherd knew the value of this sheep, and he comes and gets this sheep, according to that verse, puts the sheep, picks the sheep up off the ground, lays the sheep on his shoulders, and carries the sheep back over here.
Yes, amen.
You see what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That's the righteousness of God that is revealed. The righteousness, you know what righteousness is? Righteousness is God being God. It's God being true to himself. If God is true to himself, God is holy, God is love, but God is also just. And God therefore must be against sin. He must be against darkness. So how can God be true to himself and be love and all? You guys ever read Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy says, Israel, I set you up as judges amongst the nation. Don't take a bribe. You guys ever tried to bribe God? Liars, every one of you have. We try to bribe God with our own righteousness. Look, God, what I did for you. Because we don't have a revelation of God's righteousness. God, Jesus Christ has made righteousness unto us. So we get a sense of guilt. We get a sense of God's anger. So what do? We try to please him. We try to please him. And every time this accuser here, this executioner, Satan over here, is always there accusing you, isn't he? Every time it's brought up, he accuses the brethren before God day and night. And he's there for a purpose, because you are not going to bring any of your righteousness over here. So I can tell you a little heads up, don't even try it. Don't even try it. But he tells these judges, don't you take a bribe. Don't you dare take a bribe, right? I mean, you know how he's going to judge these things. Don't take a bribe. He says, judge a righteous judgment. Don't in any way let the wicked go. How is God going to get this sheep out of here, be true to himself? If God is love, he has to judge sin. He has to. He has to be against sin. If God is light, he said, don't you know, when they come into the land, don't make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, right? Don't you dare do it. That's why Israel got in trouble, because they thought, hey, we'll compromise. Everybody tells me, yeah, I get a lot of compromising, you know, all the times in the church, you know, so all about compromise. Well, he said this, let's do it this way, let's do it this way. He said, no, don't you compromise. Here's the way it is. No compromise. How in the world is God going to do this when we're here and we're in the law of sin and death, and sin must be judged? Sin must, it's got to. And do you realize there's a debt that has to be paid? A debt. I'm not talking a money debt. Debt. How in the world? How can God just come down there and get this sheep out of there, who's not even wanting to be out of there, and be true to himself and be righteous to himself and judge sin? I mean, this is a quandary right here. You guys, you know, I can't even give you all the verses here, but in Deuteronomy, let me show you this. Deuteronomy 1:17. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it to me and I will judge it. Now, let me give you another one. Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10. Verse 17, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great and mighty and a terrible God, which regardeth not persons, neither taketh reward. You can't bribe him, okay? You cannot bribe him. I don't care. So to me, that throws your prayer chain out the window. You can't bribe him. You ain't going to be bribed. Either you know the righteousness of God and you approach him on that ground, or you're wasting your time. Okay? I don't care if you got 27 billion people on your prayer chain. If you don't understand the righteousness of God, you're wasting your time. Now see, that hurts people's feelings because, my God, now I don't have nothing to post. Let me see. I got another verse here. Let me see where it is. Deuteronomy 16 and 18. Judges and officers shall thou make thee in all the gates which the Lord thy God give thee, and throughout all the tribes they shall judge the people with just judgment. Right judgment. Right. I mean, how can I go and do this thing and have a just judgment and also be loved? Now, let me go here and read something here. I'm in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy, the first part of Deuteronomy 28, is the blessings, the promises of God for the covenant people. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all the commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. See, boy, and I get a hold of that, and I read that, and I think, all right, all I got to do is listen to God, right? I mean, it says right here, if I will listen to God and keep his laws, here's the promises that have come to me. All right, let's go do it. Yay! Jesus said, look, y'all like the darkness. Y'all wasn't even moving a foot. Y'all wasn't looking for me. None of y'all has went astray. All of y'all fell. They went, I mean, all through the scriptures it says, none saw God. Not one. Not one person ever took the initiative to seek God. Not one. Not one person raised their hand and said, I'm lost. God, I'm looking for you. No, you all love the darkness. So that automatically disqualifies me, Beverly, from every blessing of the covenant in this verse. Because it says, if you will hearken to my voice, if you'll do all that I command. Well, you know that we didn't. So, what do we do? Well, we get grace, right? Oh, and here's what we say. Look, God, you know, God, I kept 9 of them commandments. I only need grace for 1. This is great. Tracy over there, she only kept 3. Pitiful Tracy. She only kept 3. Well, wait a minute. She gets more grace than me. Paul said, should we sin more that grace may abound? God forbid. No, you not. I mean, don't you understand? You were baptized into his death. There's a new law, a new life. This ain't grace. You know, this ain't grace to help you keep the commandments. He said it's a heart problem. Do you believe that this guy's right here had a nature problem? I mean, do you believe that? I mean, these things that I'm telling you, you got to ask yourself, do you believe me? Do you believe that this cat right here wasn't even seeking God? Because if you don't believe that, we can't go no more. I mean, if you think there's something good in this man Adam right here of himself. But see, that's the lie. That's the lie that has taken over Christianity. That they believe there's something good in this man. This man was worth a lot. But his whole being, his whole nature become undone. Why do you think the new covenant is what? I'll give you a new heart. Why a new one? Why not just ugly? I'll fix yours. Let me come in and fix your heart. He says, I will give you a new heart. Listen, I will put my spirit in you. I will cause you to walk in my commandments. I will cause you. And how in the world You know, the new covenant. Look, let me put up here. We got a new covenant over here. And I won't even put up the old covenant over there, but there was an old, well, let me tell you. We'll put this sign over here. You remember when Jesus came in there? Father of lies. He said, you're of your father, the devil. They said, we got Abraham to our father. He said, you got another father. You're of your father, the devil. He's the father of lies. He was a liar from the beginning. That's who your nature comes from. So we don't really believe that. We don't really believe that. But just as much as all the way back over here, Adam was the covenant head, right? He brought all into the kingdom of darkness. He brought us all into bondage, all into slavery. And we wasn't even wanting to get out. And we talked about this on our Wednesday nights. What's true of the covenant head is true of all the rest. So if this man is in sin, darkness, then all that are found in him, you know, Paul said it this way, as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all that's in Christ be made alive. How do I get there? How in the world do I get there? Let me read you a verse here. Now I'll get ready to get out of the way. Because like I said, I just wanted to throw some things out there. Because I know we'll go preach these things. But look, if this man's dead, if this guy's dead, he's separated from God, and he doesn't even have a desire to find God. He don't even have a desire to find God. So unless God takes the initiative, this guy's up the creek. Unless God takes the initiative, this guy, he's done for. And see, that hurts our feelings. It hurts our feelings because I want to be God. This goes back to the lie. Billy Graham said this. This is a lie. Billy Graham said, if you'll take the first step, God will do the rest. That's a lie. If you had the ability to take the... Just think, God... What I'm saying, Beverly, is God is powerless until you take the first step. My Lord and my God. We're all doomed if that's the case. We're doomed. If God don't take the first step and the second step... And how many steps did the sheep take? The sheep got carried back. How many steps did the sheep take? All the sheep contributed to its salvation was getting lost. That's the only thing it contributed to. Listen, do you know what you did for your salvation? You crucified the Lord of glory. That's what you did for your salvation. You crucified the Lord of glory. That's what we did. That was our contribution. That's terrible, isn't it? Let me read you these verses. Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord, in verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Oh, see, I like these things. Now it gives me something to do, don't it? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he would have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, it returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. And it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. If I just read them verses right there, guys, Some preacher's going to get a hold of that and tell you to go seek the Lord. He's going to call you the wicked and say, you need to turn. How much did that sheep turn, guys? You couldn't do it. I'm telling you right now, you could not do it. You couldn't turn. You couldn't seek the Lord. You couldn't find the Lord. And worst case, you didn't even want to. Now that's hard for the Christian to come to that understanding. It's hard for the Christian to come to that understanding. Except he found me, I'm lost. I'm done for. Therefore, I can rejoice. See, because I need a revelation of his righteousness. Because what happened in this new covenant, what happens to this guy right here who is the covenant head, what happens to David, happens to all Israel. Talking about this as I continue on. Got a whole bunch of stuff right here that I don't even get to them. We're going to spend the next few weeks looking at this righteousness of God. How could he do what he did and still be true to himself? Because without the revelation of the righteousness of God, we'll slip into universalism. And we'll think anything goes. God hates sin. He didn't just start hating sin. He's always been against it. God doesn't get angry. He is anger against sin. Listen to what I'm telling you. You and I get angry. God doesn't get angry. His stance is the same from before the beginning until the end. That's the way it is. But I will tell you this, and I'll get out of the way here. The law says, the day that thou sin, thou shalt surely die. Right? Thou shalt fall under the binds of the executioner. Right? The father of lies. You'll fall under this man's domain. He'll have you. There you'll be. You'll belong to him. Rightly so. You'll be in bondage your whole life. But there's another law that guy didn't know about. There's another law. There was a law that was put in effect before the foundation of the world. It's called the law of the Lamb of God, the Lamb that was slain. Because that law said, righteous, and he dies for the whole lot, then the whole lot can go free. See, if the devil would have knew that, he wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But let me just give you the last verse. We'll call it quits right here. Last verse, Revelation. Because when you get a revelation of the righteousness of God, you know who you're going to see? The revelation of the righteousness. You're going to get that in the face of Jesus Christ. You're going to see a man here, not a thing. Listen. They sung a new song. Say, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Who's worthy? This lamb that was slain. Why is he worthy? For thou wast slain. This is why you're worthy. Because you were true to yourself. You were righteous in yourself. And you kept the law of the lamb slain. The good shepherd says, I will lay my life down for the whole thing. I'll be true to myself. Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. How? By the blood of God, by thy blood, the blood of God. Do you know how much something is worth This is how much you're worth. How much somebody's willing to pay for. God Himself shed His blood for you. That's how much you're worth. You know, I've heard Dale say, I'm going to give a blood nickel for so-and-so. I can't. Listen. While you were yet sinners, while you were over here in this Adam, not even looking for God, while we were dead, trespasses and sins, He came where we were and shed His blood. Now listen, you heard this, and I'm just going to briefly touch on this. We're translated over here to the kingdom of light. Where's the first place we come? Where do we go? Because this guy over here, he's seated, but he's seated on a judgment seat, isn't he? God, we hate that judgment. Because here he is sitting there looking at me, and I'm brought before him, and he's sitting on that judgment seat. And I'm brought over to that judgment seat, right? And I'm thinking he's going to open up a book and say, okay, 1972 today, she really blooded in 72. A lot of sin in 72. 78, oh, terrible year for you, terrible year. Right, opened up a book. Now, he's giving you a view of it right here. You're brought before them piercing eyes of love. And he hails off them hands and says, you know what, Denise? This is what I had to do for you. See this right here, Timothy? This is what I did for you. You're brought before that. What is your own response? But see, we want to have our own righteousness and we want to say, no, God, that wasn't me. I didn't do that one. I'm a good person. I got my standard of righteousness over here. But when the righteousness of God is revealed, he says, no, you were guilty. You were guilty. He didn't pardon the guilty. You see what I'm saying? Like, listen, guys who sold Joseph into slavery, you meant it for evil. And he holds it up and says, you meant this for evil. You said, we will not have this man to rule over us. You cried out, crucify him. But this is my righteousness. I loved you anyway. I loved you anyway. I sought you out. I brought you here. What is there left to do? But they fell down before the throne, for the judgment seat of God. Thank God you get brought before the judgment seat of God so you can behold His face and sing the new song. I've left half my notes on the page. This is just a little starting point because I want to look at the righteousness of God. We got to spend some time looking at this here because I don't want you to go around like a bunch of low-down beggars that don't think you've got anything or worth anything or you're worthy of healing or you can't pray for your kids and all these other things. You are worthy because He made you that way. Set righteousness that is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. So, Denise, I'll let you come back on. You want to say a few things and I'll get out of the way. Thank you guys for coming and being with us.